today. Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters.
Keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon. I'm Jaron Vecchio. And on today's show, joining me over the phone is the mayor of the regional municipality of Wood Buffalo, Don Scott. Don, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, and I hope everyone's staying safe out there, all your listeners.
All right. Well, let's start off with masks, as the mandatory mask bylaw for indoor public spaces came into effect on Monday as the region hit 50 active cases. Just to start, let's talk about exemptions, as that's some of the, I guess, one of the bigger questions we keep getting from people is, when do they have to wear a mask, and when don't they?
Yeah, a lot of people misunderstand and believe they have to wear a mask under every circumstance. The bylaw itself has lots of exemptions, so let's go through those. So children under 5 years of age, that's an exemption. So they do not have to wear a mask. Persons who are unable to place, use, or remove a face covering safely without assistance, so that's another exemption. Persons unable to wear a face covering due to mental or physical limitation or are protected under the Alberta Human Rights Act, that's also an exemption. Persons who are caregiving for or accompanying a person with a disability where wearing a face mask would hinder that caregiving or assistance. Persons who have temporarily removed their face covering in a public place and to provide... This is another exemption, to provide or receive a service while consuming food or drink in a designated sitting area, while engaged in an athletic or fitness activity. So there's several exemptions. There's another one to do with religious and worship activities. So if you're attending or leading a worship activity, you would not be required to wear a face covering.
So there's quite a few exemptions, and for those who maybe missed some of the ones that Mayor Scott said, you can just go to the Mix News page and we have a list of all the exemptions. One of the other common questions we keep having are from those who have a physical or mental ailment that may be forcing them to avoid wearing a mask. Do they need proof? And we've been seeing in cities, specifically I believe Edmonton had it, where you could register and get, I guess, a card to say, I don't need to wear a mask. Is that needed? And if so, why didn't we do that?
No, we haven't required that, and we don't think it's appropriate to have to confront people and ask them for that information. And just as a general tool, public education is going to be the first step in compliance. There's been no bylaw fines to date for COVID-19, and that's previous to the face mask bylaw as well. So it's all about education, really. We just want people to use the face masks and keep each other safe. But, you know, we recognize enforcement is going to be a big challenge. So it's all really about a lot of public education, and public education is going to be the first step in compliance before any enforcement.
Well, if we don't need any proof, then... wouldn't it just be as easy as not having this mask bylaw? Because there could be some people out there who could lie or just not wear a mask if we're not really enforcing it, if this is more of an information thing.
Yeah, I want to believe that most people are law-abiding and will follow any law that's in place. If someone's going to lie, I think they could lie under any circumstances. So, you know, we want to believe that people... have the best of intentions, and we'll keep each other safe. If you don't qualify, then wear a mask. I realize there's a lot of opposition to this, but we want to keep people as safe as possible. I'm often asked the question, you know, do these masks even work? And the example that's often given is Calgary and Edmonton. And there seems to be the suggestion that because they're not down to zero and they've had face mask bylaws for a while, then they don't work. But the question that people should be asking is, what would they be at if they did not have a face mask bylaw? Obviously, doing nothing didn't work for us. We're up to 52 by doing nothing. So doing nothing didn't work. So let's take whatever steps we think we can. And obviously the province, a lot of people ask me, you know, about the province and how come they haven't mandated this. They haven't stopped any municipality from implementing this face mask bylaw. And I'm sure most people are aware, they have mandated most young people who are going to school to wear a face mask. So they obviously think it has some use. And if you go into most facilities around this region that are provincial, you're going to be required to wear a face mask bylaw, including the hospital, including, you know, doctor's offices. I believe there's several other institutions in this region. We've got industry who's mandating masks. You know, there are other measures that are just as important, like social distancing, but we need people to follow the rules as much as they can. We need people to keep each other safe.
Mm-hmm. Don, probably the most common question that we've been getting is around timeline. And we know that the bylaw came into effect on Monday and it's going to last for at least 30 days. But if the numbers fluctuate during those 30 days, goes above 50, below 50, above 50, below 50, does the trigger, you know, does it keep, I guess, being triggered in a sense? Do we keep extending the 30 days?
Yeah, this is straight from the lawyers. It's a point that I've talked to lawyers about, and these provisions were brought forward during the meeting, but this is the way the lawyers have interpreted it and the way that we're going to be instituting it going forward. So once the trigger is in effect, so once you have 50 cases, it stays in effect for 30 days, and then that's the critical period. At the end of every 30 days going forward, you review it. So at the end of 30 days, if you're below the trigger number, then the bylaw is no longer in effect. If you're above the 50, the trigger number, then the bylaw stays in effect for a further 30 days. And every 30 days, you do the same thing going forward. So once the bylaw is triggered, which it has been, it's every 30th day going forward, which is going to be the critical period when you review. And if you're above 50 on that 30th day, it's going to be triggered for a further 30 days.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to continue our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters, brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. Look. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters, brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mayor Don Scott, and before the break, we are talking about masks, as the mandatory mask bylaw for indoor public spaces came into effect on Monday. There are quite a few exemptions, so just make sure you head to the Mix News page so you can see exactly what those exemptions are. And Mayor Scott, this is the first time we've had you on the show since Alberta's Health Minister Tyler Shandro announced that they will be moving forward with the plan to consolidate our local EMS dispatch site into one of three provincial centers. And you've been on the show countless times over the last couple months explaining, you know, your concerns with the move. And you guys held a press conference last week to talk about it. And you were obviously very disappointed, I guess, in this move. Maybe just to start off with your thoughts that the province, you know, is moving forward with this move.
Yeah, anytime the healthcare in our region is weakened, I'm going to be upset, and I think everybody in this region should be upset. I know that my colleagues on council are very disappointed with the decision as well. And just to remind everybody, 90% of the time, our municipality dispatches an ambulance 48 seconds faster than AHS. But instead of AHS adopting our system, which is better, they are going to push us into adopting their system. So we are going to be shifting everything by within the period that AHS mandated, which is unfortunate. So, you know, we're still fighting the war. What we've asked is for the premier to review the situation. So we've tried the minister. He's ignored us. And now we've gone to the premier, and we'll see what he says. We basically did a you know, a request to the premier to review this situation. I think it's completely something that's, it's so obvious to me that we should maintain the existing situation. Not everybody probably agrees, but anybody who cares about healthcare, I think, should agree. And the facts are completely in our favor and very obvious.
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned multiple times about the numbers and how we, on average, around, I believe, 90% of the time, respond faster. What's been the response from AHS and the province when that's being mentioned? And have they actually shown, you know, data, you know, your data and their data, you know, side by side to maybe show what they're seeing?
They've never shown me the data. I think they've shown Calgary some data, but they've never shown me data, and I think there's a good reason for that. They're not going to show me the data that shows they're slower and verifies everything that I've been saying. We know that they are slower, and they make tremendous mistakes when they dispatch an ambulance. And we told Minister Shandro that, but all that's been ignored. So, you know, we continue to fight. It's one of those issues where you fight as hard as you can, and if they ignore you, if they just carry on anyway, then you go to the next level, and the next level is the premier from our perspective. But we're very disappointed with the approach the minister's taken. And just to remind everybody, this same issue has come up for many, many years. There's been three previous health ministers who have overturned the same decision of AHS. But AHS keeps bringing it forward every time they get a new health minister. This time they found one who wouldn't change their mind. So, you know, they're sticking by the AHS decision. And as a result, we're going to have, in my view, a weakened healthcare system in this region.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that the next step, which is already underway in reaching out to the premier, and I've already asked you this question countless times about next steps, but legal action. Is that actually a possibility? And I'm not too familiar with, I guess, provincial measures or, I guess, provincial, rules that are being, you know, put in. Can you guys legally challenge it?
I think we could. Now, whether we would is a different story. We'd have to evaluate the risk and all that. I think step one is to make sure the premier's aware of our concerns and to see if he's willing to intervene. If he's not, then, you know, there might be other avenues, including legal action, but we'd have to evaluate that as we go forward. We still got until January until the AHS decision takes full effect. So we do have some time before us, but we're not very happy with the way it's going so far.
Well, we're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to finish our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mayor Don Scott. And before the break, we are talking about the province's plans to move forward with AHS's plans to centralize, consolidate our local EMS dispatch site into one of three provincial centers. If you're looking for more information about this story, all you have to do is head to the Mix News page. And Mayor Scott, we've been talking about masks, EMS dispatch site, and we haven't even gone to the fact that you guys had a council meeting yesterday, and I was hoping to talk about chickens, but that debate got pushed to November, but there's still a few other things we can chat about. And first off, let's talk about parking tickets, something that I think most people in this town have gotten, and most people in the world. It seems like it's one of those things that is inevitable. You're going to get a parking ticket probably once in your life. And for those who pay within the first week, they're going to see a big cut, a 40% cut on these fines, which is a big upgrade onto what was offered previously, which I believe was $5. So why the move? Why are we doing such a big cut on these fees?
Yeah, Councillor Stroud brought this motion, which I think everybody saw the importance of it. What was happening is people had no incentive to pay quickly, and this is an incentive really to make sure that parking fines get paid in a very quick way. And just to give people a sense of how many parking tickets are issued, in 2017, 8,945 tickets were issued. And in 2019, the last year, we had 4,273 that were issued. So we've had a 53% decrease in tickets issued over the last 2 years. So there's a lot going on. But just to give people a sense of it, there are fewer tickets being issued. But now, if you pay your ticket within 7 days, thanks to Councillor Stroud and the support of council, it's going to be reduced significantly.
Mm-hmm. This also, when looking at the numbers, puts us a little bit more on par with the rest of, like, I guess, the major communities in Alberta, as administration showed, you know, what these parking tickets, what the actual fine were. And we're in, I think, in almost every category a lot higher than Edmonton, Calgary, Red Deer, all these other communities. Why was that?
You know, there's been a history of that in this region, and that's what was brought forward last night, that it was really a demonstration that we were way above every other community. You know, I can't speak to the history of going back why that was instituted. I think there was a lot of concerns about road access. We do have very narrow streets in some parts of Fort McMurray, so that may have been why it was instituted many years ago. But, you know, this should correct us to a large extent and bring us back into line with other communities. So I think this council took that important step. And we've also, in addition, asked for a full review of the bylaw to come back by April 2021. So this bylaw is completely outdated, in my view, and that came up last night during the discussion as well. And what you just described is an example of it being outdated.
Mm-hmm. We also had a potential relocation pilot project come up to be discussed about, you know, encouraging more fly-in, fly-out workers to move to the region with incentives. However, administration had recommended avoiding this program, this project, at this time. They cited a few reasons, you know, a legal challenge that could come up with it, being unfair to those who already live in the region. And we could obviously talk about this program, but incentives has been something you've been talking about since you've been voted in back in 2017. Seeing, you know, just this project itself having such issues, is that deter your reasoning behind trying to introduce incentives to get more people to come up here?
You know, I'm never deterred. I think there's always things that we need to look at. We need more people living in this region. And I've always held this one view that if you make money in this region, then you should live in this region. And that's why I fought so hard on the camp issue. And just to remind everybody, that ended up in a 5-5 tie, and a tie is a defeat. So, you know, we still have camps. I believe the camp issue is not as prevalent as it once was because of what's happening to industry, and we need to make sure we're supporting industry as much as we can right now. But there are still a significant number of camps in the region. I thought, Councillor, now, this incentive program that we're talking about right now was brought forward by Councillor McGrath, and I did speak to several people from industry who thought it was a good idea, and they were prepared to move their employees to this region if this was instituted. But administration took a hard look at it and said it wasn't going to work for a number of reasons. So I think we all saw that advice and took it last night, and we're, you know, the fight continues. We're still going to need to fight and find ways to make sure that residents want to move to this region. You know, I find it completely unacceptable that people are still flying in and out of this region to any extent, let alone the extent that they continue to do that. Having said that, I recognize, you know, I got a pretty strong relationship with industry these days. We are working very hard to make sure that industry is viable during this pandemic, but it's still a strong concern for me.
Speaking of industry, and a motion that you brought forward and was approved by council is advocating for the energy sector to the federal government. This is not a new motion, as you guys have been doing this since you've been coming in, and even councils before, advocating for the sector. I guess, is it a little different right now just because of, you know, just the tough times that the sector finds itself in?
You know, I have discussions with the energy industry weekly, and the motion last night was to do with supporting the Wood Buffalo region and its companies by refraining from increasing regulatory burdens amidst an already challenging environment and supporting carbon emissions reducing technology. Both of those issues were, and this whole motion was really drafted by industry. You know, they told me that this is what needs to be advanced right now with the federal government. What I am completely tired of, quite frankly, I'm sick of it, is every other part of Canada seems to get a lot of support from the federal government. But when it's our turn, we don't get the support that we need for our critical industry. We have supported Canada for a large number of years. And right now, you know, when our industry is struggling, we see very little support. So we need to get a lot more support. So that's what we're fighting for, and that's what I'm fighting for in this motion. It was obviously passed last night. Everybody believes in it. So we need federal policies that support, you know, our world-leading development of our natural resources, including our energy, which is absolutely critical. This is a time to get results, not ideology. Over 800,000 jobs in Canada are tied to energy. It is by far our top export, representing $98.4 billion in economic output in 2019 and 10% of our GDP. So, you know, 11% of all government operating revenues in Canada are generated from the energy industry through taxes and royalties. You know, we need to be treated like every other province. If there's an issue in every other province, everybody goes running with checks. When there's an issue in Alberta, I'm not seeing that same excitement. People seem to turn their backs on us. I'm just completely tired of it. And I'm not alone in that. I think a lot of my colleagues are as well. And we need to see the federal government do a lot more. You know, I'm very concerned about what the provincial government's doing as well. We need both levels of government to do a lot more for Fort McMurray, a lot more for Alberta, because these are difficult times, and our energy industry is struggling right now. So it's time for everybody to recognize, hey, we've already contributed. We've contributed for 20, 30, 40 years. Let's not forget that. And if we need assistance to keep contributing at the same level. So they should be doing everything they can to support our industry, just like they do every other industry in every other province.
All right. Well, Mayor Scott, that's pretty much all the time we have. But we were talking a little bit off air about Halloween, which is obviously in 3 days. And we're in the middle of a pandemic. We have a mask bylaw in effect. So I guess with all that's going on right now, is there a message you have to the community as we head into, I guess, trick or treating?
Yeah, just please keep all the young people safe in this region. The last thing we need is to have more cases. We want that number to drop below 50 as quickly as possible so that this bylaw falls away. There's not a person on council who wants to see another case in this region. So please keep everyone safe. As do everything you can possible, especially our young people. We want to make sure that they stay safe. And, you know, this pandemic has really affected our economy. It's affected everybody's health. The sooner that we institute, do everything we can to make sure that people are safe, the better off we're all going to be. We need to get back to normal. We're all tired of this. And I can certainly speak for myself that, you know, we're exhausted by everything that's going on. So the sooner we can recover, the better. So let's keep everyone safe on Halloween.
All right. Well, Mayor Scott, as always, we appreciate when you spare a couple minutes of your time to come on the show.
All the best. Take care, everybody, and stay safe.
That's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at Mix1037FM.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.